Need tasks to perform, we needed a place to hide, amen. A rock, shelter, amen. All right, let's see, what about 2 John 1:8. Again, 2 John 1:8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessings and goodness. And I thank you that you look at us once and for all through the blood once we have trusted your dear Son. And dear God, we are delivered from the wrath to come according to your word. And Father, I just thank you and I praise you for that. And so, Lord, I look to you now. I plead that blood and I ask that you'd fill me with your spirit tonight and help me to minister the word to the church tonight. And might your spirit use your blessed word and glorify your Son in our lives. And Father, help those in the nursery tonight. Miss Pat, bless her watching the children and fill with your spirit there. Thank you for the services this morning. And thank you for Ruby being back and for Brother Larry visiting. And Father, just for each one who came, I'm thankful, dear God. And I'm thankful that we have been shown the true riches. And we know through your word and by your spirit the things that are truly valuable in this life and the things that will actually outlast this life. And I thank you, dear Lord, that we can live for those things now. We can enjoy the faith that we have in you, the grace that you give. And so, Father, I pray that more and more we do that. We not only have life, but we'd have life more abundant and free, dear Lord, as we wait and anticipate your return. And we look forward to that, dear God. Do the work at each heart that needs to be done tonight. And so, Father, we do pray and ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We looked at this verse last Sunday night, this passage here, and we saw how they kind of swooped in there and took it out of context. We looked at how it's talking about the doctrine of God there, and you know, being faithful to the word and those things. So we saw that. We won't go back over that. But I wanted to look at a couple other things in this text besides that that would make it would disqualify it for a lose your salvation passage, even besides what we've already spoken. And the first that had come to mind looking at it, John writes in verse 8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. And of course, the lose your salvation, people are somehow saying, okay, that's saying you can lose your salvation. I mentioned they didn't say how. They just listed that in the verse of one of those passages that say you can lose your salvation. Didn't give any reason why. Well, here's another reason why it can't say that. He says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. And before I even go into that, he says, he writes, but that we receive a full reward. So if that's talking about losing your salvation, what's that mean? Does that mean we can lose part of it? Does that mean if we're not careful, we'll lose a piece of our salvation? He's saying, be careful that we receive what? A full reward. Does that mean that you can be not careful and receive a partial reward when it comes to salvation? It doesn't make sense. Even just that alone doesn't make sense there. So that's that just disqualifies the meaning. It'd be hard for them to explain that. And then the other, it's look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. Those things which we have wrought. Now, things which we have wrought is the Greek word ergozomai. We've heard of ergonomics, which has to do with what? Work and working, ergazomai. And it's actually ergazomai, the I ending in the Greek is something that is done in the middle voice. It's something that I do for myself. It's something that is done by me for myself. It's in the middle voice. And so what does that mean? Things which we have wrought. Ergazomai means to work, to labor, to do work, to trade, to make gains by trading, to do business, to do, to work out, to exercise, to perform, to commit, to work for, earn by working, to acquire. Now, if that isn't sending a lot of red lights and bells and whistles out when it comes to salvation, it should be. If you've been reading your Bible and studying, we know that that the Bible is very clear that salvation does not come by something that we work for. It does not. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So we don't get saved by works. They're going to say that we keep our salvation by works. No, it doesn't come by works. It's not something that we work for. And I heard a kind of unique argument put forth one time from Lose Your Salvation folks about works and about keeping their salvation so they don't lose it. And the explanation was this. Well, and I'll put this out so you're aware of it, and you can maybe have some direction where to go should you confront that. It's been a long time since I've heard this argument, but I have heard it. They would argue, well, it's not really our works. See, because it's Christ in us. So when we do these works, we're trusting Christ to do them. So it's not really us that's doing them. It's really not our works. So we're trusting in by faith in Christ, in Christ's grace. So it's really faith and grace that's producing the works. It's not our works. And they might go to places like 1 Corinthians 15:10. We saw this morning. Paul writes about himself, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but it wasn't really me, but the grace of God which is with me. And so they would say, well, see, not my works. Well, the labor is necessary, but they're really not mine. I trusted God. He helped me work. You didn't trust God. He didn't help you work. You lose your salvation. That's the argument they would use there. We'll see the faults with that here as we go through that. They might use another verse like Galatians 2:20. Paul writes, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So they would try to argue that our works are coming forth by faith and grace. So they're not our works. So I'm not really saying that I'm saved by my works. It's Christ is doing it. And if you're not doing him, it's because you're not trusting his grace and faith. You see where they kind of try to get, they try to get real confused. They try to get you tangled up there. Well, we'll look at some of that. And we look at what is the best dictionary to learn the Bible? The Bible. What's the best encyclopedia to learn the Bible? The Bible. What's the best commentary on the Bible? The Bible, right. So we need to learn what the Bible says about the Bible and what the Bible says about this thing about works and salvation and such. So they would say, well, We're saved, and it's not really our works because we're trusting Christ to do them through us. So they'll try to slide out from under in that way. Well, here's the truth about what the Bible says about works after salvation. The scriptures refer to works done through us after salvation as our good works. Even though they are done by Christ, or by His grace, or by God, or by His Spirit. We'll find that throughout the Bible, and we're going to look at a bunch of passages that teach that, okay? God refers to works done after salvation in the Christian as our good works, okay? Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see what? Your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Now, do you suppose he was talking about works that were done by the Spirit or works that were done by the flesh? There. Anybody? Works that were done by the Spirit. He's referring to works that he did in believers and says, and they're your good works. And we'll see that throughout the New Testament. John 14:12. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he," who? "He do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." Now, do you suppose he's talking about a believer there? Absolutely. And he said, the works that I do, he will do. That believer will do also. Once again, it's accredited to the believer. Who's doing it to the believer? Obviously. By the way, this doesn't negate the truth. Jesus said, without me, you can't do nothing. That's true. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Someone want to read that? 2 Corinthians 5:10. Brother Brian, emphasize the pronouns on that one there, brother.
"For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or
bad." There it is again. According to that he hath done. Okay? Titus 3:8 says this. "This is a faithful saying, And these I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed," who? "They which have believed in God might be" what? "Careful to maintain good works." You believers, be careful to maintain good works. That's what he's telling the believers that. And Paul goes, he's writing to Titus, and he says, and he goes on to say in Titus 3:14, "And let ours," those that are immediately around him, "also learn to maintain good works." Those folks that are going with us on our journeys and such, and that are helping us out right where we're at, make sure they're careful to maintain good works too. And who's doing them through them? Jesus is. The Holy Spirit is. God is, whatever the passage may say. Here's a good one, James 2:18. Someone want to read that? James 2:18. Sister Lynn, I'll let you do that one since you had your hand up the last one.
"Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works."
By whose works? My works, James said. Who's doing the works? God. Okay. The scripture is replete with these references. 1 Peter 3:16. Peter's encouraging us that we are to live having a good conscience, that wherein they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ, your good life in Christ. Once again. And of course, 1 Corinthians 3:12. Here we have the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:12. And what's it say? Now if
who?
Any man build. Who's doing the building? If any man build. What did Jesus say? Upon this rock, I will build my church. Yeah, it's still God doing it. But God refers to works that he does through believers as their good works in the Bible. It's a consistent thing. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, what's it say? Every man's work. There it is. There's that possessive pronoun again. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Whose work was it? It was the man's work, but it was God working through him. And God does that on a consistent basis. So don't try and get away. Well, I'm saved, so it wasn't my work. That's not what God says. you can't say that I'm calling it works because God did it through me. Well, if you're a Christian, God calls it your works. See what I'm saying? So your works can't keep you saved because the Bible is clear. Works don't keep us saved. Works don't get us saved. Works don't keep us saved. And by the way, when salvation says, when Ephesians says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. It doesn't even specify where the works originate, does it? In that verse it says, it's the gift of God, not of works, any works. You see, it's by faith alone that we're saved. It doesn't even include the work that God does through us there. There, Ephesians 2:8-9 is a contrast between works and faith. Faith is apart from works, whether it be God's working or man's working. See that? So that verse excludes works altogether. We're saved just by putting faith in God. Plus nothing. And then God doesn't even have to do a single work through us for us to be saved yet. The works come when? After salvation. And by the way, all those verses we read are in reference to works in believers what? After salvation. After salvation. It's a consistent thing. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works as any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus what? Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so, do we do good works after salvation? Why, yes, we do. And how do we do that? We yield to the Spirit of God that he does it through us. Isn't that how it works? That's what he does. He works through us in that way. So all these are good works that follow salvation. And so why does God refer to them as our works? Well, we know it's really him that is doing it through us. Well, because after salvation, we can yield to God's Spirit or resist God's Spirit, right? You won't find too much about irresistible grace in the Bible. yield to God's Spirit or resist God's Spirit. This may be why the Spirit chooses to call them our good works, even though it is he that is doing the work. These works are judged at the judgment seat of Christ, depending on the sort of work that was done. Those done in the flesh, that is, for the flesh or by the flesh. By the way, if they were for the flesh, they were probably by the flesh. Okay, we do good work to get glory. Then it was probably the flesh that moved us to do that in the first place. You see what I'm saying? Those that are done for the flesh or by the flesh, by the way, do we still have the flesh in us? Is it burning out? Yes, we do. Those are burned up. Even if they look good. I was faithful to church. I never missed a service. And look at my perfect attendance reward. Da, 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 da. You know? Okay, throw it. Hey, I hope you love it because that's all you're getting. You know? Don't hold it too close to the flame at the judgment seat of Christ. You see what I'm saying? Now, God judges the works of what sort they are. Those done by the Spirit of God, in the love of God, will be rewarded. Because I thought about that as we live out our Christian lives here. 1 Corinthians 3:9 is a verse I like. I often put in emails and such. For we are laborers together, how's it say? With God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. In Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So you see, when I got saved, I got a new nature. But I still have my old one. And sometimes I forget he's dead. And I listen to him. I forget he used to be king and a tyrant and I had to obey him. And I sometimes choose to still do that. I don't ever have to do that again. And I haven't had to do that since I've been saved. Neither have you. But we have these two natures, and sometimes what? Sometimes we're running on the wrong engine, aren't we? And we're running on the flesh. And it's the flesh that's doing it. But sometimes we're yielded, and we're running on the Spirit. And it's the Spirit that's doing it. And at the judgment seat of Christ, God's going to sort all that out. And when you did that, you know, you had a lousy attitude, and you just, you know, did it out of spite, and you were doing that one all for yourself, you know, just to show off, or you know, to be recognized. God's going to throw that at the judgment seat of Christ. But sometimes we get it right, we get yielded, and when we have the right mode of love, we have the right power of the Spirit, and our spirit's in harmony with the Spirit of God, and so it's the Spirit of God leading and the power of God doing the work, and those are the things that will be rewarded. Maybe that's why God calls it our works, because of our flesh that's in us, we can still mess up as Christians, can't we? And guess what? God doesn't claim those works. You know, just because we're a Christian doesn't mean God claims all our works, does he? No, absolutely not. But he certainly is laboring to work through us by his Spirit. So that may be why God does that. So we see the idea that salvation, it's not my works because God's doing them. That's not what the Bible says. After you're saved, God calls them what? Your works. Your works. And to get saved, there are no works. God's or mine required. It's me putting my faith in what God has already done. God doesn't have to yet do something for me. He's got it all there for me in Christ and all there for everyone. And so that explains that. All right, we have one more. And this one here in Revelation 2:8-10. John is writing to the churches that are in Asia. Under the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And what are two things that lose your salvation people often miss? Anybody remember? One of them is rewards. And the other one is what? Has to do with disobedient Christians. Chastisement, even unto death. Those two things they seem to miss. Where do you think this one's going to fall? Or actually, and even rewards. Kind of covers both of them. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. God is not giving them eternal life for their faithfulness unto death. That crown of life is in a reward. Is a reward. It's a reward. In James 1:12, James writes, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised them that love him." There's a crown for those who endure temptation and who are faithful unto the end. It's not eternal life. By the way, Revelation 4:10 says this, when it's all done, he's all done with the churches. The 24 elders, who do they represent? I think they represent the church. Maybe 12 for the Jews and 12 for Gentiles, I don't know. But elders represent a multitude. The fact that they're elders shows that they represent a multitude. The 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and what? Cast their crowns before the throne. Because why? We know who's really doing the works. Amen. All the reward, by the way, they're not casting their eternal life before the throne, are they? No, they have that forever. They're casting their crowns. That's symbolic of their reward. You did it, God. This is yours. By the way, later on in Revelation, you'll see Jesus wearing many crowns. Why? Because Jesus not only paid it all, Jesus did it all. Amen. Through us afterwards as we yield to him. The crown of life is a reward. You'll see something that you want to get straight when you read through the churches in Revelation. And look at verse 11, following verse 10 here in Revelation chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 10, he's talking to the church at Ephesus. This applies to the very thing that I just mentioned. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. You're going through this great trial. The devil's going to cast somebody into prison. For that specific trial, for what's going on here at your church, here's what I have for you. Be faithful. Some of you are going to be cast into prison, be tried, have your tribulation 10 days, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. But now he's going to say something's going to change. Verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the, what's the word say? Churches, plural. In verse 10, he is focused in on his message to the church, there. I believe it's Ephesus. Is that what it is? Or which one is it? Smyrna. He's focused on Smyrna there. This is for you. This is for what I'm talking about. Now he backs off in verse 11. Now for all the churches, I got some encouragement for you. Verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now we're looking at all of them. And what's he say? He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Why does God say that? To encourage all believers. You're going to go through this. You'll get a crown of life if you endure unto the end. And by the way, let me tell you something just for all of you. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And so we see that. And by the way, who wrote Revelation? I know the Spirit inspired it, but who was the human writer? John. Let's let John define what it means by he who overcometh. 1 John 5:4-5. 1 John 5:4-5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What? Even our faith. And get verse 5 down. 1 John 5:5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You got that? And none other than every born again person in the world. Those who have believed that Jesus Christ is the Son, those are the overcomers. Why? Because we believed. It's all God required. Believe what? On the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's why Jesus could say to his disciples, in the world you shall have tribulation, how's it going? What's the next part of the verse? But be of good cheer. What? For what? I have overcome the world. You say, well, Why should I be in cheer? Because he's overcome the world. Because he did that for me. See, it's his overcoming that made me an overcomer. When I put my faith in him, I became an overcomer with him. Because he's the overcomer. That's why he could say, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And I've got long coattails for you to come in on. That's why he died for. That's why he overcame. So we can come in on his righteousness. So we can trust him. Everyone who's trusted him is an overcomer. It's the only way to overcome the world is just believe in Jesus Christ. And we see that throughout Revelation. We see that change in Revelation 2:7. He makes that change again. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the, what's it say? Churches, plural. To him that overcometh, will I give eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. We're going to eat of the tree of life one day. That's going to be wonderful. I wonder what it's going to taste like. I wonder how many different kind of fruits are going to be. I think it was, if I remember correctly, it was a different fruit every month. And man, that's going to be, it's a neat study just of, with the throne and the river coming out of the throne and the trees of life on both sides of the street and in the midst of, we'll have to have a lesson on that sometime. It's just a glorious vision of heaven and those things. But he that overcometh, all you believers, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That's an encouragement to all believers, whatever trials you're going through, anywhere, anytime. We see it again in verse 17, Revelation 2. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the, what is it? Churches. To him that overcometh, who's that? The believer in Jesus. Will I give to eat of the hidden manna? Will give him a white stone, in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. A new name that no man knoweth. You know, you have a personal relationship with God right now as a believer. You have a relationship with God that is unique. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is unique. And when you get to heaven, God's going to give you a name only you and him know. Isn't that neat? The Bible says Jesus receives a name that only he and the Father knows. It's an amazing thing. God is an amazing God. And then also we see in Revelation 3:5, and he kind of reverses the order a little bit here. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess him before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3:5. Didn't write the last part down there. And then verse 6. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith in the church. That applies to the verse, but he just switched the order there. But the same message was to the churches there. So God gives all that encouragement. So they pluck one verse out of there and say, oh, you see that? You got to be faithful unto the end or you're going to lose your eternal life. No, that kind of life is a reward. And by the way, he was talking to that church specifically. He wasn't even talking to all the churches in that passage yet. But when he mentioned that, they went on to encourage all the churches. And so we see that maybe it's good that the Bible talks about there must needs be heresies among us that the truth might also be manifested. I'm paraphrasing there. But maybe it's kind of good that they're out there because it makes us study a little bit more. Yeah. They pluck their one verse out and run away and say, look what I found. And they put it in their false doctrine nest. And then what do we got to do? We got to go and dig. That's okay. It's good for us. Amen. It's good for us to dig in the Word and find out, if they're wrong, then the Bible must show that they're wrong and find out. You know, find out what the Bible says. Don't go to the Bible looking for what you believe. Go to the Bible and believe what you find. Amen. And just make sure that you're digging and keeping things in context. And praying. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. And he'll guide us into all truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for the promise that We do believe in the preservation of the saints. Dear God, whether or not we persevere, Lord, is another story. Some may not be faithful unto the end and be very grieved at the judgment seat of Christ. Some will be faithful to the end and be wish they'd be even been more faithful in some other ways, Father. We know you're going to work all that out. But I thank you that you have promised that everyone born again, you're not going to lose a one of them. That your sheep hear your voice, and no man's able to pluck them out of your hand. And Lord, you're going to keep us until the end. You're the author and finisher of our faith. And so because of your promise, not because of our faithfulness, we are guaranteed to one day see that adoption. We're predestined for that new body that's yet coming for the completion of our salvation. When like your blessed Son, dear God, we'll have a body that people can feel, yet we'll be able to walk through a door. We'll have a body that's not dependent upon food, but we'll be able to eat some fish if we want. And dear God, it's going to be an amazing thing to be with you in all eternity, to reign with you during the millennium, to take our part in that, and then to go on into the new heaven and the new earth after that, for whatever you have for us there. God, it's beyond imagination, dear God, what you prepared for us, and we're so blessed even now, Father, to have your grace and your power and your love in our lives, and your Spirit in our heart, your Word to guide us, and Spirit to guide us day by day. Your Son to be our Savior and our brother and our friend. And Father, we do thank you and we praise you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.